You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wives. Wife. No one. They shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
First up on the show today, we have the Labour Party's Mika Whaitiri talking to 95BFM producer Joel about the Te Tere Whenua Māori Bill and rebutting Marama Fox's comments on Tuesday.
So first of all, so you guys contacted us saying you'd like to dispute some statements made by Māori Party co-leader Marama Fox on Tuesday 28th in regards to Te Tere Whenua Māori Bill. What problems did you have with her statement?
Pretty much everything she said. but look, Joel, specifically, she made mention of a couple of facts that I just need to put correct. And she talked about the Te Tere Whenua and what its attempt is to do. And that's to empower Māori landowners to make decisions over their land, which on the face of it is a very admirable thing to do. But like everything, the devil's in the detail. And so that you're aware, I'm the current Member of Parliament for Ikarorafiti, which is the entire east coast of the North Island. 30% of Māori freehold title land sits in my electorate. Since coming to Parliament in 2013, so that's almost 3.5 years ago, I have spoke out on many occasions opposing the Māori land reform promoted by Marama and her party. And the reason why I oppose them is that when you change Māori land law, then you have to do it with careful consideration, simply because it's not like general land, you know, like you and I go down the road, we buy a piece of land, that's our land, we become the king of our land. It's not that at all. It's actually multiply owned. It's also inherited land because over successive actions of the Crown, Māori have lost land. And so what we're talking about here, Joel, is about 5.6% of New Zealand's total land mass remains in what's called Māori collective ownership. So we're not talking about the 95% of New Zealand land. We're talking about a very, very small land holding which is in multiply owned land. And the Waitangi Tribunal in its report into Te Tere Whenua, into the reform, made some cautionary notes to the Crown, and that was, make sure that you involve Māori landowners throughout the process, make sure you've got some empirical evidence before you make any changes, and whatever you make, ensure that the new legislation upholds the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi. So I've been on this crusade since 2013. Now jump forward, and I've heard Marama on your show say, you know, all the Fleet Committee and, you know, the opposition didn't say anything until they dropped the minority report. Well, fundamentally, she's wrong. I was on the Fleet Committee. I've spoken out, like I said, for 4 years why I had concerns with this bill. In the Fleet Committee process, as Marama knows, you're faced with a bill. Early on in the stage of that meeting, we actually raised wider concerns, i.e., have we got wide support from Māoridom? Are we following the recommendations of the Waitangi Tribunal, etc., etc.? And we were constantly told by government members, Mika, that's outside the scope of the bill, which technically they're right. You can't raise out wider things that the bill doesn't address. So it's disingenuous when she says opposition members in the Select Committee weren't raising their concerns throughout the consideration of the bill, because the whole process of Select Committee is that you delve down into each clause of each bill. So I just wanted to put that on the record and straighten up that up, that people didn't sit silently in opposition and then all of a sudden jump up and down. Some of us have been jumping up and down about it for 4 years.
So Marama Fox also criticised the Labour Party of opposing Te Tere Whenua Māori Bill for political gains against the Māori Party, claiming that the opposition to the bill is more spin and rhetoric than actually pointing out the clauses that people disagree with. What do you say to this?
Absolute rubbish. You know, we've gone through and sat as constructive opposition members of the bill and made changes where we thought we could make changes of the bill. So I know the clauses inside out, but if you step back again from the bill, because it's easy to jump everybody's attention into the bill, what's the intent behind the bill? Well, the minister as well as his co-leader, Marama, said that they're addressing the issues Māori landowners have been talking about for years, which is land not land, paper roads, ratings, and of course land taken under the Public Works Act. On your show, Marama said categorically that this bill addresses those issues. She is misleading your, and I'll challenge that, that this bill does nothing of the sort, does nothing of the sort of addressing those issues faced by Māori landowners. It does not address landlocked land, it does not address paper roads, it does not address land taken under the Public Works Act. It does not address the other issue around finance. So she's very misleading in saying that this bill does this. What the bill does, simply, is it guts out the Māori Land Court. Now, this is the body that does all the Māori succession orders, disputes resolution, and holds all the Māori land records. It's the registration. And it simply guts the Māori Land Court out. That's what this bill does. And so they are, you know, I'm tired of hearing that, and that we're paying politics, because it's not just my voice that's been in opposition as a Labor MP in an area where many of my constituents have similar concerns, but it's the same concerns that the Waitangi Tribunal have raised, it's the same concerns that the Māori Land Court judges have raised, you've got the Law Society that's spoken out against it, the Human Rights Commission, the Māori Women's Welfare League, you've had Kensington Swan, Professor Bose, who was involved with the original Act, come to the Select Committee. So, look, if we're paying politics, then what the heck does she think about those organisations, reputable organisations that have also raised concerns with this bill?
So this bill has had 129 amendments made and 29 clauses removed. What else needs to happen, do you think, for this bill to address the concerns that Māori landowners have?
Well, look, let's get specific. I've introduced, I've changed from the Act. The Act, if you understand Māori land tenure in this country, the Act was put up to protect the 5.6% of total New Zealand land mass in Māori multiple land hands. So the Act was set up, and in the Act you see it's very heavily on protection. This bill moves some of that protection and creates some opportunities where, for example, you have a block of land of 100 owners in Māori landholding blocks, of which 10 can come together because the other 19 may be, I don't know, in another part of the country, might be overseas, may not have even succeeded. But 10 can come together, create a governance arrangement over that land, and make decisions of the use of that land at the expense of the other 90. I don't think that's fair. But this bill enables that to happen. It doesn't allow it to happen under the current Act. This bill, a bill allows to have it. So my question is, where in the clause do the 90 owners in a piece of land get protection for their rights? Where does that? They can't point to it. They say, well, you need 75% of the owners to sell land. But what they're not telling you is actually that 75% of the 10 who turn up at the meeting. And so there fundamentally is something really wrong when we're passing the bill that creates the few and collectively owned assets the right to determine its use at the expense of the many. And if when you pitch it to your listeners, I'm pretty sure people will say, well, that's not fair. And there's a whole lot of reason why the 90, I'm not defending the 90 that don't turn up to meetings, but there's a real genuine reasons why the 90 can't get to those meetings. But this is what this bill enables, that to occur. And so you have that. The other promise of this bill was the establishment of the Māori Land Service. So take away some of the administrative services of the Māori Land Court and give it to this new entity called the Māori Land Service. The problem with that is that the details of the Māori Land Service is about 18 months away. So what happens to all the Māori landowners who are promised this new modern land service to help them utilise their land if it's not up and running or details aren't available until 18 months away? I just don't think that's at all right. And when you talk about the clauses that have been changed and the amendments that are made, well over 120. Last night, the Minister of Māori Development announced that a new SOP, that's, you know, a major change to the bill, he's released it, a significant change to the bill. I haven't seen it yet because it was only announced last night. And they'll say that appease a lot of the concerns with the bill. You know, that's really poor legislative making when you're writing policy on the fly. And if it's that significant, how do we know? What mechanism do we have to scrutinise it? Why doesn't that go back to the Select Committee? And they'll say, well, we're listening to people, so we made these changes. Another way of looking at it, Joel, is you've actually drafted a really poor piece of legislation. You're getting found out, and you're making all these changes out of desperation to get the bill through the House. That's another way of looking at it.
So do you have any other comments you'd like to make about Marama Fox's comments on Tuesday?
No, I just wanted to set the record straight on some of the comments she made on your show, which were actually, you know, they weren't absolutely correct. And that's why I wanted to say the bill doesn't address things that she said it addresses, and the role of the Select Committee in terms of participating and then saying they don't agree is absolutely rubbish, because we've always made our position really, really clear. And I don't believe that we're making politics, because at the end of the day, it'll be Māori landowners who will feel the brunt of these changes when the law goes through, and we can't even determine whether the service that the service to help Māori landowners that's 18 months away, whether it's going to be a free service or a paid service. And these are really fundamental questions that all Māori landowners should have answered. And, you know, and until we have those answers, you know, I don't think this bill should proceed.
So around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.